This is Pastor Stuart Schneider welcoming you to a service of worship at Community Presbyterian Church in Bellefonte, Kentucky. Come, let us worship the Lord together. Our first reading is from Romans, the first chapter and the first seven verses. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the gospel concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be a son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including yourselves who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus ends a reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. Thanks be to God. Our second reading is from Matthew, again the first chapter, 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way, when his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. My friend, Reverend Ken Castagna, raised an interesting question in a sermon once years ago. And the question was this: what is the purpose of the church? What is the purpose of the church? And Ken answered it, to tell the story. The purpose of the church is to tell the story. The church praises God. It offers fellowship to those inside and outside our community, and offers comfort to those who suffer. But underneath all of it, our primary purpose, says Ken, is to tell the story. Which story? Aye, there's the rub. Which story? We have too many stories, and we love them all too well. Paul wrote to the Roman Christians about having received, and I'm quoting him, "grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including yourselves who are called to belong to Jesus Christ." Now the word apostle is derived from apostolos, a Greek word which means quite literally to be sent out, and has come to mean any of the early followers of Jesus who carried his message into the world. So from the very beginning, the purpose of the church has been to tell the story. Paul is announcing himself as one sent out, an apostle, to bring the word to the Gentiles. That's us, church. He went further, though, and addressed his letters to all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints. The apostle Paul, one sent out to carry the message of Jesus into the world, is writing a letter to persons within Rome who he describes as God's beloved who are called to be saints. What's a saint? I suspect most of us understand a saint to be a dead Christian, and the more so if he died a long time ago and in a particularly gruesome way as a result of his faith. But Paul is not writing to a dead Christian. He's writing to a live group of Christians, plural. The words most often translated as saint in both Testaments, kadosh in Hebrew and ios in Greek, don't carry the meaning of dead Christian at all. They mean holy. Holy, in turn, doesn't mean otherworldly or supernatural. It means set apart. Paul is writing to those in Rome who have been set apart by God for a task, just as Paul was, a people specially marked out as God's people. What is their task? To tell the story, the important story, the only important story. And this is the place where the trouble starts. We have too many stories and we love them all too well. We have the story of Santa Claus, we have the little drummer boy, we have Rudolph and St. Nicholas in the stockings. We love them all so well, and they are all such great stories, but we who are set apart as God's people aren't called to tell just any stories or just the stories we like. We are called to tell the story. It's when we drift from that call that the trouble starts. Insisting on just the stories we love gets us into trouble with people who love different stories, and then there's just no end to it. Luke tells us that Mary and Joseph, two people living in Nazareth, have to go to Bethlehem to be enrolled, for Joseph was of the house and lineage of David. Luke's account is the Christmas story we all love. But Matthew has an entirely different story. In Matthew's story, Jesus is born in Bethlehem, yes, but there's no trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph already live in Bethlehem. It's only after the birth of the child that the family comes to live in Nazareth. An angel warns Joseph that Herod seeks the child's death, and we, as we'll see next week, he instructs him to flee to Egypt. Joseph takes his little family to Egypt, in Matthew's account, and stays there until he is told that Herod is dead. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was Herod's son, when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth. After decades of reading Luke's story, it sometimes comes as a shock to learn that Matthew tells a different story altogether. We want to protect that Lucan version that we love so well against this alien account from Matthew, but they are both gospel stories. Trying to favor one over the other is where the fight starts. And that is a sure tip-off that whichever of the two stories you are personally attached to is not the story we are to tell. We can't have the Nazarethites fighting the Bethlehemites at the Christian Super Bowl every December 25th. Heck, we can't even agree on that date. I mean, the Orthodox Church, many congregations in the Orthodox Church follow the Julian calendar and celebrate Christmas on January 7th. I was led to this odd line of thought by conversations I overheard at the Chapel of St. Arbuck's the past few weeks about families who have chosen not to tell their children about Santa Claus. To my surprise, hearing that made me, well, cranky. You would think that someone in my line of work would be shouting that we must keep Christ in Christmas, and that I'd then be happy to hear about families that were cutting down on the clutter of the holidays, but I'm not. I think it's going to make the lives of those kids miserable when they interact with the other kids, and I'm just not into making kids miserable. The enormous ball of stories that we love too well to ever leave, the tree, the stockings hung by the chimney with care, even when there is no chimney, elves, Rudolph, Santa, the wonderful, warm, loving family time stories that we've embraced since childhood and enlarged since then, are a celebration of the innocence of childhood and our love for one another. But heartwarming as they are not the story we're called to tell. If we try to graft the story of the birth of Jesus onto our well-loved ball and just stick it on as one element, if we try to keep Christ in Christmas by making the story of the birth of our Lord just one of many well-loved stories, we've done a terrible wrong to our Lord. The birth of our Lord is not one more well-loved story among many. It is the story, the only important story, and this story must stand alone. This story can't be mushed in with the rest of the holiday cheer, even if we honor it as the greatest among many. This story isn't a story. It is the story, the only important story, and it is the story that we are taught sent to tell. So, guess what? Once again, I've talked my way right to the edge of the dread cliffs of Grinchydom. Gloomy old preacher. Guess who's not getting invited to our Christmas party? I bet he's a hoot at funerals. Well, yeah, I guess. A commitment to the purpose of the church to tell the story doesn't very often lead you to be elected life of the party. And if it does, you're probably doing it wrong. Our great secular ball of stories and traditions has rolled right over the humble manger, and the Holy Family has been moved to the back of the TV so everybody can see the tree. In our culture, the secular traditions and the family traditions, the many stories that we love too well, have filled our hearts to overflowing. And guess what? That's okay. Even this gloomy old preacher can't find anything wrong with families drawn together by their family traditions, listening to Christmas music, sharing the excitement of the children, shopping for that just so perfect gift. As I was writing this in my study, Bing Crosby was singing Silver Bells on Linda's computer. This is the only time of the year I can listen to Bing Crosby sing Silver Bells with joy in my heart. If I tried to listen to it in July, it would be cloying. It would just be wrong. But this time of year, I can listen to it. There's nothing wrong with our big ball of traditions. It is a blessing beyond words, but it is not the story. Grinch that I am, and I am as grumpy over the calls to keep Christ in Christmas as I am by those who would keep Santa Claus out of their children's Christmases. We live when and where God has placed us. The when and where that we have been placed is one in which our well-loved secular traditions have overwhelmed the reason for the season. Well, we can regret that. But if we want to be honest, we're going to have to acknowledge it. Just the same, Christmas Eve might be given over to a candlelight service, but Christmas Day is about family and the loving bonds that bind us. And presents, of course, lots and lots of presents, but that's a different sermon. If we follow the Keep Christ in Christmas crowd, we'll be led to one of two possible courses. Number one, we can declare war on Santa Claus, turn our backs on all those well-loved stories and demand that the season return to a Mass for Christ, which it was in the beginning in the Roman Catholic Church. Or we can welcome the story of Jesus into among all our other well-loved stories, one tradition among many, and ask our Lord to share space with Rudolph. I don't want us to do either one. I don't want Vivi to be the odd kid out while the other kids are talking excitedly about Santa Claus. I want pictures of her on Santa's lap, which hasn't happened yet. She apparently doesn't like Santa. Makes her cry. I don't want to give up on the Christmas rush and hustle, the secrecy and the giggles. I don't want to give up on any of that. But I also don't want to lose sight of the story we are called to tell, that God, the unknowable, unnameable, transcendent creator of the world, took on flesh to come among us. Not royal flesh, not exceptional flesh, not a spandex suit with a big J on the chest, the flesh of a tiny, vulnerable baby. This can't be just one more tradition. This is something else. We are sent forth to bring the story to the world, and that means that we must speak in ways and at times in which we can be heard. There's too much circus at Christmas in 2013 for that. It's a well-loved circus. It's a marvelous circus. It's a circus with real, valuable meaning, but it's a circus. Baby Jesus needs some quietness to speak to us. On January 6th, we celebrate Epiphany. It is more fitting, I think, to listen to the story on Epiphany. In Jesus' time, his birth went unnoticed by the world. The world was too involved with its own circus, with feeding of families, with gathering together, with going out and coming in to notice. It was at Epiphany, some 2 years later, that the world noticed that the story had begun. This Christmas, let's agree to celebrate the gifts of children and family and friends. All gifts of God. This Christmas, let's gather our strength from all we have to reach out to those who have less, that everyone should feel embraced in love. Then, when all are comforted and all are supported in a circle of community and love, let us go to Epiphany with a commitment to tell the story to all the world. Amen. Please join with me as we affirm our faith from the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you. here on Christmas Eve because I sing in my church, so we're going to sing one stanza for you in German. She did it to me when I was little, now I'll do it to her.
Silent Night. Well, in 6 BC, I bet you didn't know that. Jesus could not have been born later than 6 BC. It might have been a silent night, but it isn't in 2013. It's a very noisy night, is Christmas. My dad, my brother and I were 8 or 10, 10 and 12 maybe, decided that we had to have a reading of the Christmas story before we could open our presents. So we sat there while Dad tried to remember where in the world in the Bible the Christmas story was, and he wandered around in Jeremiah for a good long while before he struck on Luke. And by this time, my brother and I had spent a good long time looking at a Christmas tree packed with presents. And in our heart was nothing but avarice to get at those presents. But we sat there while Dad read the Christmas story. Now, how many think that I took, or my brother took, anything of value from that reading? We couldn't hear it. It is we who are to tell the story, but we must do so in a time and a place where we can be heard. Saying magic words over Christmas, unopened Christmas presents does nothing. Until we meet again, may the blessings, may the love of God the Father, the grace of God the Son, and the communion of God the Holy Spirit go and abide with you this day and forevermore, and may you always remember that you go forth in the world to tell the story. Amen.